Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I'm the head of the abuse team at Hugh James, and it gives me great pleasure to be joined today by Hugh Cock, who is a clinical psychologist and the visiting professor in law and psychology at Birmingham City University. Welcome, Hugh.
Thank you very much.
And Hugh is going to discuss in this podcast with me lockdown-related anxieties. And I'm sure we're all only too familiar with lockdown, its implications, the physical ones, the practical ones, as well as the psychological ones. So, Hugh, how can you help us with our lockdown-related anxiety?
Well, thank you very much, Alan. I've had the huge opportunity that about a month ago, I got invited to start writing a weekly blog for an online law journal about how people could or would cope with being on lockdown. And the more I researched, the more I read, the more information I gleaned, it was very clear that most of us, if not all of us, that had been encouraged to comply with lockdown would be experiencing a variety of very normal feelings of feeling isolated, feeling detached, certainly from colleagues, if not family, but certainly from colleagues, experiencing all sorts of, at times, very extreme uncertainty. Quite logically, it has been a very uncertain territory and still is to a certain extent. Huge changes in the way that we organised our daily routines or daily activity, and generally, with the best of will in the world, feeling generally fairly alone and unsupported. And this wasn't only caused by the COVID pandemic, it exacerbated any of these types of feelings that we already had with our work, with our style, with our family life. Any problems that we typically would have from day to day were exacerbated by the stress of COVID. And there were two or three factors that came to mind repeatedly when I was thinking about these problems. And one of them, no particular order, was the social side of this. That on the one hand, we were detached from our colleagues. We weren't seeing our colleagues. I have a very good colleague at my office, and I would repeatedly on a daily basis pop in and chat to her about key issues that were cropping up as they cropped up. So something cropped up, and then an hour later, I'd be within her office having a chat about it and sorting it out. That was just not happening. It would require a phone call, not necessarily a video call, but a phone call, which was a different way of trying to sort the problem out. So I was slightly dislocated from my immediate colleagues, and this made things much more difficult. Obviously, with the advent of Skype, digital platforms, that made meetings, for instance, a lot easier. But there was still this dislocation between me and my colleagues, as I'm sure there is with many people. At the same time, you had, depending on your living arrangements, if you have a live-in partner, then you were having a much closer set of circumstances where you would see them a lot of the time. And depending on the location at home, whether there was a spare office, a free office, or sharing an office, there would be, in the early days, back in March, beginning of April, lots of issues between people at home as to how to manage their organisation in relation to their partners. The second issue was within that, the routine was so different for many, many people. If they were lucky enough to retain their job and their working role and work from home, the issue of, well, am I working 9 till 5? Do I go into my new office at 9 o'clock? Or maybe do I have a later start and go in at 10 o'clock? What happens at lunchtime? Then there's a need to go and get some food or whatever. The routine is very, very different during lockdown and requires a fairly firm, logical and practical approach to making sure that your schedule, your routine fits with that with the other person. Conversely, if you are living on your own, if you're working from home, it is conceivable that you spend the whole day and never see anybody. And again, just reinforcing your isolation and to a sense of loneliness, and how to build into your routine the phone calls, the remote meetings online, going out for a walk, seeing people on your walk in order to bring a little bit of sociability to your schedule. And as I say, the routine is really important. My routine is very important in maintaining my self-esteem with my work during lockdown. The next one, the last but one item, was to do with the way that we think during this very, very strange period. And we know it's very important to think positively about what we're doing. And even though it's an incredibly uncertain situation, and always has been since March, continues to be uncertain, we need to have positive views about our ability, the country's ability, the profession's ability, our own personal ability to get through this, to control aspects that we can control. It is now possible to control the interviewing process through remote interviewing a little bit more now in May than it was back in March. And to visualize that this will gradually get changed, the virus is going to an extent, to visualize when this is over and we are back to a more normal type of routine that can make us feel more confident in our abilities. It's important to have positive views of our own abilities and those around us. Alongside all of this, whether it's being sociable, whether it's having a routine, whether it's thinking positively, it's important to be able to manage our feelings and typically our anxiety and our stress. People talk a lot about mindfulness, meditation, focusing on specific things that make us feel nice and calm. And those are really very useful and very important. But I just wanted to finish with a very small exercise to do with relaxing our muscles. We often get tense muscles when we get stressed. And I just want, while you're listening to this podcast, I just want you to just focus on your fists and clench your fists very tightly. Just for 5 seconds now. Just do that now. Clench your fists, very uncomfortable, and then let them go. Unfurl your fingers and let them just flop on the table. It is much better to let it flop and relax than be as clenched and tense as it was. Now, as a very, very simple exercise, you can do that throughout your body from time to time, and just using the word tense and relax, go through parts of your body. If you're sitting down or you're driving the car or you're standing by the sink, do exercises that tense and then relax. And as you relax, take a deep breath and let that tension go. Very simple exercise. Remind yourself by using that word relax, and that helps you to feel less stressed and calmer. Just a potpourri of some ideas. Lockdown is hopefully getting less and less now. We've all done a really good job complying with directives that we've been given, and I'm sure we'll get through it, and wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Hugh. Very useful. If I may, one or two questions. Let's say a listener says, yeah, extremely useful, but I really struggle to think positively because I'm on lockdown, I'm on furlough, and I just really struggle to think about where I'm going, what's going to happen. Any advice for someone in that kind of position who just really
struggles? I mean, of course, that's the elephant in the room. In a short podcast, it's very difficult to cover everything, obviously, but many people have had and still have very big issues with their work, with their finances, to have to manage over the next 1 month, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. And I wouldn't wish to minimize the severity of that. However, in order to get to grips with some pretty horrendous problems and implications, one has to start from where one goes by trying to be positive about the environment around us now, today, this minute, what one is aiming to do today, the conversations one's going to have, the discussions about problems that one's going to have, and also feel positive that advice about our problems will come from ourselves, from our friends, our colleagues, and other professionals. There will be ways through the various problems we all have. Some will be easier than others, and I don't diminish how difficult that can be, but to be positive will help you get through that difficult circumstance to an extent, a large extent, hopefully, or a small extent.
Thank you very much, Hugh. One last question, if I may. We often see clients who are distressed at the best of times because they're having to confront and address serious issues, often from their past. And I think particularly of those who are in that process at the moment. And of course, they've got lockdown and all the concerns associated with lockdown on top. And so I often think, well, how are they best going to manage? And of course, that is a sort of big, woolly sort of question. And everyone's an individual and everyone's got their own unique circumstances and so on. And it may be that some are getting medical treatment, maybe there are others who are not. And I'm just sort of thinking whether, following on from what you've just said, have you got some kind of general, helpful, practical advice for someone who is in that position? They have recently come forward because of something that's happened many years ago, perhaps in their childhood, and it sort of opened up Pandora's box for them, and their ability to access help and assistance in the normal way has been curtailed.
I think, there are very many, many different ways of responding to that. But I think the most helpful one that I find with myself and all my clients in that circumstance is, whatever has gone on in the past, that is one's history and is very important. It's important to have the confidence that you can move on from whatever your past problems have been or your past difficulties and stresses have been. And today can be the beginning of the next phase. And that involves saying to oneself, okay, well, today, what can I change? What can I inject that will be different? Maybe I can go for a walk and say hello to five people. I can look at my environment and see aspects of it that are pleasant and reassuring. I can make a phone call and show interest in someone else's life story as well as talking about mine. I can talk to people about what has gone well in my day today, albeit in a small way. And it's really trying to start a new pebble in the stream, pebble in the pond, ripple effect that moves things forward from what they may have felt like in the past to moving them forward into the future in a slightly different way. That doesn't answer your complex question, but it's a starter.
And I think that's what it's about, isn't it? Is making a start, putting a pebble in the stream, making a new current, making a new ripple. Yes. And I think that's important for all of us, whatever our situations are. So thank you very much, Hugh. Much appreciated. Thank
you. You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.